This is the Read On Air podcast from RNIB.
Hello and welcome to Read On Air, the show all about reading that belongs to you. I'm your host, Red Sale, and this week we'll be delving into the dark recesses of the psychological thriller. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me went down to the river to bathe. Adam and Eve were drowned. Who do you think was saved? This nasty playground riddle is a favourite of Jerry Leach, a charming con man who has sponged off five women. With a twist of irony, as callous as he is himself, he is about to fall victim to one of the women he's preyed upon. Ruth Rendell, who died in 2015, was best known as the creator of Inspector Wexford. But, as Barbara Vine, she was also the author of a string of outstanding psychological thrillers. Astor's book, The House of Stairs and A Fatal Inversion established her as a master of the genre. However, in 2002, she published Adam and Eve and Pinch Me under her own name, and for me, it's the pick of the bunch. From page one, she creates an uneasy world of swirling, half-seen events, in which neither the characters nor the reader can be sure of the evidence of their senses. The story starts in West London, with Minty, a 30-something foundling who suffers from obsessive-compulsive disorder and is haunted by the ghost of her former lover.
Minty knew it was a ghost sitting in the chair because she was frightened. If it were only something she'd imagined, she wouldn't have been afraid. You couldn't be when it was something that came out of your own mind. It was early evening, but being wintertime, quite dark. She'd just come home from work, let herself in the front door and put the hall light on. The front room door was open, and the ghost was sitting on an upright chair in the middle of the room with its back to her. She'd put the chair there to stand on and change a light bulb before she went out in the morning and forgotten to put it back. Her mouth tightly covered up with both hands to keep the scream in, she took one step nearer. She thought, "What will I do if it turns round?" Ghosts in stories are grey like the people on black and white television, or else see-through. But this one had short, dark brown hair and a brown neck and a black leather jacket. Minty didn't have to see its face to know it was her late fiancé, Jock. Suppose it stayed there so that she couldn't use the room. It wasn't absolutely still. The head moved a bit, and then the right leg. Both feet edged back as if it were going to get up. Minty squeezed her eyes tight shut. Everything was silent. A shriek out in the street from one of the kids that lived opposite made her jump, and she opened her eyes. The ghost was gone.
The man she knew as Jock Lewis is, in fact, Jerry Leach. Having deserted his wife and conned Minty out of her meagre life savings by promising to marry her, he then faked his own death in the Ladbroke Grove rail crash. As Minty battles poverty and her demons, obsessively bathing and scrubbing herself clean, Jerry is already seducing his next meal ticket, a high-flying career woman who is only too happy to be rescued from single life by the man she knows as Jeff Lee. Meanwhile, Jerry's wife Zilla is herself in need of rescue. She too received the official-looking letter informing her of Jerry's death, but unlike Minty, she knows it's a fake. Abandoned and broke, she's struggling to raise their two children, and only coping because her local Tory MP is supporting her. A rising star and strong advocate of traditional family values, this MP is keen to keep the fact that he's gay out of the news. When he suggests that they get married, Zilla is forced to choose between security and living a lie.
Zilla stripped off the children's clothes and put jeans, T-shirts, sweaters and Jordan's anorak to soak in cold water in the sink. She switched on the fan heater and put a match to the fire she'd laid earlier. It was strange how Jim's never seemed to notice the state of the place or the inadequacy of the fittings or, come to that, the cold. At any rate, he never mentioned them. Did this augur well for a life companion or not? Of course he was a pal of Sir Ronald. If she married him, she and Jim's would no doubt occasionally have Sir Ronald to dine, perhaps in the members' dining room. As she began making scrambled eggs for the children's tea, Zilla decided that if she did marry Jim's, no way was she going to do the cooking in future, or any housework as long as she lived. Who was it said, "I'll never be cold or hungry again"?
Needless to say, the three strands of Jerry Leach's parasitic life cannot be kept separate forever, and as the plot twists and turns, so they intertwine to ensnare him. While much of the book's suspense comes from wondering exactly how Jerry is going to get his comeuppance, the psychological thrill that makes this such a good read comes from Ruth Rendell's ability to show all her characters in equally good and bad light. Like the London street Minty lives in, Jerry is as gentrified as he is squalid. Minty herself is both infuriating and deserving of our sympathy. As such, Ruth Rendell plays a subtle tug of war with the reader's loyalties. In one chapter, we find ourselves agreeing with Minty's neighbours, the cheerful policeman and his wife, that Minty is better off believing herself bereaved than knowing she's been deceived. But we soon discover that they and we were wrong. Even the unfolding political farce of the gay MP trying to hide behind a bigamous marriage proves to be more than just comic relief. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me presents a world in which people are forced to invent stories to stop their lives from falling apart. It's a world without moral certainty that, in the book's more surreal sections, questions our ability to pass judgment at all.
Zilla thought the chances of another wee one slender in the extreme. She had no experience of interviews or journalists, but was already frightened of them. Still, she had long ago cultivated the art of banishing unpleasant thoughts from her mind. It was the only form of defence she knew. So every time a picture of Jim's as Shadow Minister of State at the Home Office or Under-Secretary for Health came into her head, and she had a vision of a reporter appearing on her doorstep, she thrust it away. And whenever a voice whispered in her mind's ear, "Tell me something about your previous marriage, Mrs. Malcolm Smith," she plugged it up. After all, she knew Jerry wouldn't reappear. What surer way could there be of making plain your intention to disappear than by announcing your death?
Why I love this book and want to share it as a hidden gem is because it blends the accessibility of Ruth Rendell's Inspector Wexford crime novels with the moral and emotional complexities of Barbara Vine's psychological thrillers. As such, it reads like true crime. As in life, none of the characters in this complex case is altogether bad or altogether blameless. Theirs is a tale of unforeseen consequences with multiple victims. By taking what is essentially a cozy village crime story and setting it amid the impersonal streets of a grimy city, Rendell isolates her characters from any sense of community. This makes them more vulnerable, more human, and the story more tragic. As such, I find it chilling and thrilling and a page-turner from start to finish. But why did Ruth Rendell choose to write under two different names? And why, as a psychological thriller, was Adam and Eve and Pinch Me not a Barbara Vine book? It's a question I'd never really got to the bottom of until Robert Kirkwood played me an interview he'd recorded with her back in 2013.
One of the most prolific authors in the RNIB Talking Books Library, under her own name or under her pseudonym Barbara Vine, is Lady Rendell, who joins me now. Now, I believe I have to call you Ruth.
Yes, please.
Now, what's the difference between a Barbara Vine novel and a Ruth Rendell novel?
Well, the Barbara Vines are more serious and slower, and they're usually told in the first person, almost invariably, and they have a quite different tone, I think, to them. I always say that I leave that to my readers to decide the difference, but I am very clear in my mind that it is different, though I don't deliberately, purposely write in a different style. It's just that I know before I begin that it's going to be a Vine or a Rendell, and in that way it turns out that they fulfil the Rendell or Vine requirements.
So you never start one as Rendell and think, no, this is a Vine?
No, I never have. Strange, isn't it? I don't know why, but it's never happened.
It's strange the way you describe Barbara Vine as well. Do you think Barbara Vine is another person?
No, it's me.
It's you. But Stephen King has explored writing under pseudonyms, and when you sit down to write, he becomes not someone else, but a variation of himself, someone with a slightly different character. But it is just Ruth Rendell writing under a different name.
I know what Stephen means. And I don't know whether I'm like that. Perhaps I am, to a certain extent. But I do know that when I write as Barbara Vine, it is somehow very different. The not perhaps the style, but it is the way I write about it. It is different. But whether I am a different person, I doubt.
My thanks to Robert for clearing up that mystery. All Ruth Rendell's books, both in her own name and as Barbara Vine, are available in various forms from the RNIB library, where you'll find Adam and Eve and Pinch Me, superbly read by Frances Barber, as TB15380.
Thanks for downloading the Read On Air podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.